Hello, and welcome to a short CPD-style listen on breast reconstruction for general practice. Implants, DIEP flaps, radiation as the enemy of an implant, and a delayed reconstruction that ended with both implants out. This episode is based on a Gold Coast education evening on Wednesday, the 10th of June, 2026. Otter titled it Breast Reconstruction Seminar. About 22 minutes. Clinic education, not personal medical advice. Same-day companions, imaging at breast-imaging.drcoda.com, medical oncology at breast-treatment.drcoda.com, and radiotherapy, after reconstruction, at breast-radiotherapy.drcoda.com. Those are different lectures. Kate introduces an oncoplastic breast surgeon. Otter's first sentence is almost unusable. Australia, Sleeping Cancer Research, Chris O'Brien Lighthouse, Sydney, Dr. Kick. Read the hospital as Chris O'Brien Lighthouse. Otter wrote Lighthouse. She trained there and now works on the Gold Coast. Otter rendered the name as Dr. Kick. This write-up does not invent a surname. She thanks Kate, then sets the brief, options for breast reconstruction, mostly implants, some good outcomes, then a patient who did not have a good outcome, just to show you how stressful it can be. Why it matters. Demand and awareness are up. It is not all about lumpectomies and mastectomies anymore. Otter wrote 2050-odd years, read as the last 20 to 50 years, with a real focus only in the last decade. Telling women what they can and cannot have is, in her words, integral to care in the modern breast cancer age. Not everyone can have it. A lot of the talk is how to tell a woman no, and why. When it is possible, body image, psychosocial benefit, long-term quality of life. It is not an augmentation. Women believe they are going to look a certain way. Unfortunately, they never do. Be clear and honest. Shared decision-making. Her main operation is direct-to-implant reconstruction. Take out the breast tissue, leave the nipple or not, replace the space with an implant in the same sitting. She tries to avoid expanders when she can, because that avoids a second operation. Expanders are still common on the Gold Coast. She uses them in high-risk patients, or if radiation may be coming. You can radiate an expander or an implant. Same foreign body risks either way. Where the implant sits. Prepectoral, on top of the muscle. That is what she tends to do more of. Better long-term look. Less capsular contracture. Less animation deformity, the implant rides up and down when she flexes her pecs. After mastectomy, there is no breast tissue to hide it, and it can be distressing. Subpectoral, under the muscle. Older default. In the salvage case, she chose this on purpose, because the woman was high risk. In questions, reconstruction started behind the muscle. Only in about the last 15 years has practice switched toward the surface. Closer to the surface means a higher infection risk. Pros of implants, shorter surgery, faster recovery, assuming no significant complication. Modern implants, you can run over them with Mack trucks, they will not burst. Risks, it is a foreign body. Infection is the biggest early risk. Rippling. Skin death or nipple death, depending how thick the skin is. You have got to get the flap just right, like Goldilocks. Own tissue reconstruction. The name most GPS still hear is TRAM, practice has moved. DIEP, deep inferior epigastric perforator. Abdominal fat lifted with its vessels, reimplanted on the chest wall. 6 to 12 hours. About a 6-week recovery. They do get an abdominoplasty with it. Feels more natural. More durable. No foreign body. Preferred autologous option, because the muscle stays, so fewer hernias than TRAM. She has noticed fewer Gold Coast women keen than in Sydney. A lot say no, thinking short-term, not the long-term foreign body problem of an implant. Latissimus dorsi is salvage now, radiated skin, cannot have an implant, not first line. Wrong patient for a big autologous case, as she put it, obese, smoking, elderly. Nipple sparing versus sacrificing. She sacrifices the nipple if it is involved with cancer, or if the breast is too big. You cannot stick a 1000cc implant into a breast space and expect that skin to live. If it is only the nipple, you can sacrifice it, take some skin envelope, and still place an implant. After nipple sparing, they lose innovation. Otter said innovation. The areola, Otter said are older, stays dilated out. Immediate versus delayed comes down to tumor type, neoadjuvant chemotherapy, and whether she is worried about radiation. On public versus private, Otter captured two lines that sit in tension. First, in the public sector they do a lot of delayed reconstructions because of availability and timing. More flat mastectomies, then delayed reconstruction later. Then, the beauty of the public sector, a lot of women are able to get the immediate reconstructions. The clearer teaching point, public patients more often wait and go flat in the meantime. There is a genuine case for delay even when theater is available. If she is worried about radiation, she can look at the skin afterwards and decide. Her later line, radiation is an enemy of an implant, but it is very necessary, vital treatment. Think oncology before plastics. Get that the wrong way round, usually we lose. Selection is huge. Smokers, no. Not within 3 months. Vaping as well, including CBD. Not a chance. Implant loss breaks my heart, and it delays adjuvant therapies. If she does not trust the history, a cotinine test. Otter said contentine. Only really useful for about the last 1 to 2 weeks. BMI cutoff 32. Above that, the healing is just terrible. Theta fluoroscopy, inject something, lights off, see if the skin is well vascularized. If not, stop. She did not name the dye. We do not invent one. Pitfalls, infection, skin and nipple necrosis, her biggest of late, revision surgery, fat grafting, implant exchange for contracture. Complications can delay adjuvant chemo, radiation, and endocrine tablets. The more you operate, the more complications you get. The case she closed on. About 50, the surgeon thinks 56 when they first met. Cancer in 2017. Lumpectomy, then radiation. Recurrence within 6 months. Bilateral mastectomy. Not offered reconstruction at the time, likely because of the radiation. Came about 6 years later. Radiated side skin was thick, robust, actually quite good. She wanted expansion. April 2025, expanders in, subpectoral, because she was high risk. Extreme allergic reaction to tape, which settled. Expansion itself was fine. No infections. Second operation, remove the expanders, fat graft the skin, put in the implants. Home 2 weeks post-op. 5 weeks later, weekend call. Febrile. Fluid from the radiated chest wall. Implant on view. Straight to theater. A device like a big VAC that runs saline in and suctions it out, left 48 to 72 hours, swab until negative. Swab negative. No more staff. Implant back in on the 29th of November. After New Year, skin broken down again. Muscle starting to regress. Dressings, vacuums, antibiotics. She just psychologically had enough. They took both implants out. She has healed well. She had been offered autologous reconstruction, own tissue, get rid of the radiated tissue, and did not want it. Lesson. Radiation is an enemy of an implant, and still vital. Think oncology before aesthetics. Be open, be honest, and be there. The GP's most important role, early education and counseling, and optimization. If reconstruction can be delayed, that window is a chance to stop smoking and vaping. psychosocial support, survivorship and scan anxiety, especially in younger women, mental health plans and allied health plans. She has a lymphatic physiotherapist in her rooms. Advocate for those plans. Check current breast surg ANZ, MDT decisions, and the woman in front of you before you change anything. This has been ACPD style summary of 1/10th of June 2026 Oncoplastic Talk, about 22 minutes, for Gold Coast General Practice. Not personal medical advice.